It's good to be with you this evening. Please can you turn with me back to the chapter that was read? So that's Proverbs chapter 3. It's Proverbs chapter 3, and I'd like to speak this evening from verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, where we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I want to start by asking you a couple of questions. Is there something in your life which is a matter of great uncertainty that causes you anxiety? Or let me ask another question. Have you got a decision coming up in your life? Some situation where you're going to have to decide one way or another and you don't know which way to go. Well, these verses that we're looking at this evening, they speak to that kind of situation. As we look at these verses, I'm going to have three headings for the message this evening, and I'll give you these headings as we go through. My first heading is this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because that's what we're told to do at the beginning of verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Now, this word trust, it's talking about depending or relying on the Lord. And this verse, it is calling us to a complete and a total trust in the Lord. Because it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Now, if we're going to trust in the Lord with all our heart, that obviously means that we're going to have to let go of anything else that we're trusting in, to trust entirely in the Lord himself. Let me give an illustration of this. Imagine you were doing a parachute jump, and think of the moments when you jump out the aeroplane with the parachute strapped to your back. At that moment, you are letting go of everything else, and you are relying entirely on that parachute to get you to the ground safely. You are depending on it completely. Well, this verse says that we should depend entirely and completely on the Lord. And that raises a question, doesn't it? What should we trust the Lord about? Well, we're told the answer at the beginning of verse 6. Beginning of verse 6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." In other words, we are being told to trust in the Lord about absolutely everything in our life. That means, first of all, that we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart for the salvation of our soul. You see, we are sinners who deserve God's judgment in hell. We have this short space of time on this earth, and then we will leave this present world and stand before God. But God, in his mercy and grace, has provided a way of salvation for sinners through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross for sinners, taking the punishment for sin. And to be saved, we need to trust in the Lord and in the salvation that he provides through his Son. We need to trust in him with all our heart. Now, if you are an unbeliever here this evening, the number one priority in your life should be to seek and find the Lord. To seek the Lord until you come to that point where you are trusting in him with all your heart for your salvation. Let me give an illustration. Think of someone at work, and perhaps they draw up a list of all the different things they need to do in their job. But imagine that there's something on that list which is far more important than anything else, and far more urgent than anything else. Now, if that person was doing their work in a sensible way, they would surely do that most important, most urgent thing before anything else. They would surely focus on that above everything. Well, in the same kind of way, if you're an unbeliever here this evening, there may be various things in your life that you think about, various dreams that you have for the future, but the most important thing, the most urgent thing in your life is to seek and find the Lord. To come to that point where you're trusting in Him with all your heart for the salvation of your never-dying soul. So first of all, we need to trust in the Lord for salvation. But then, when verse 6 tells us that we need to acknowledge God in all our ways, when we're told that we need to trust in Him about everything, that obviously includes everything else in our life as well. It includes matters of providence. You know something? It does not really make sense for somebody to say that they are trusting in the Lord for the salvation of their never-dying soul, but they're not trusting in Him for their health or their work. That doesn't really make any sense, does it? Think of it like this. Imagine you're moving things around in your house, moving furniture between different rooms, and imagine a strong friend is with you, helping you move things. And you trust this strong friend to move a heavy bookcase from one room to another. But then imagine that a few minutes later, you turn round to your friend and you say to him, "But I don't trust you to carry the table mats. I'm not sure you'll manage those." That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? If your strong friend can carry the heavy bookcase, then of course he can carry the table mats. Well, in the same kind of way, if we're really trusting the Lord for our salvation for eternity, then surely we should also be trusting in Him for the smaller things of our life in this world. There may be various things that cause you anxiety. Most of you I've never met before. I don't know what issues there may be in your life that trouble you from time to time. Maybe there may be people here with health issues or concerns in your family or work problems or financial issues. Well, our text is saying, in all those things, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then there may be people here who have decisions coming up in their life. Often young people have all kinds of decisions to take, don't they? Perhaps they have to take decisions about what subjects they're going to study. Perhaps in a few years' time you'll have to make a decision about whether you're going to go to university, and if you do go, which university you'll go to. There may be decisions about what kind of job you want to do. There may perhaps one day be a decision about a courtship and a marriage. And then those that are further on in life may have decisions relating to their work or moving house or whatever it may be. And our text is saying, in all those things, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And let me tell you something. Those who are true believers on the Lord Jesus Christ have every reason to trust in the Lord with all their heart. First of all, we have every reason to trust in the Lord with all our heart if we really know Him, because of the character of God, because of what God is like. Let me read to you a verse from Psalm 9, Psalm 9, first part of verse 10. It says, "They that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Now, in the Bible, when it talks about God's name, often that is used to talk about God's character. So back in the book of Exodus, when God declares his name to Moses, he does that by telling Moses about his character. And so this verse is saying, they that know God's name, that know his character, will put their trust in him. You see, the more we understand of what God is really like, the more it will encourage us to trust in him with all our hearts. Let me just mention some aspects of what God is like that should encourage us to trust him. Firstly, there is the sovereignty of God. And when we talk about the sovereignty of God, we're talking about the fact that God is in control of absolutely everything, down to the smallest detail in our lives. He's in control of it all. Well, what an encouragement that is to trust in the Lord, because we're trusting in the one who has everything in his hands. And then there is the power of God. You see, God is a God of infinite power. There could not be a better person to trust in. There's a very wonderful verse in Psalm 121. Let me read it to you. This is what believers can say. In this verse it says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now just stop and think about that. Someone who is a believer can say that their help comes from the creator of the universe, the great God who made all things. You see, you could not have a greater person to trust in, could you, than God himself, the great creator, who is infinite in power. And then there is also the wisdom of God. You see, God is infinite in wisdom, and he knows what is best. He knows what is best for us. He knows what is best in our life. And then there is the goodness of God to his people. There's a wonderful promise in Romans 8, verse 28. I'm sure many of you know it already. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, that verse is saying that God is going to make everything work out for good for his people, for their real good. You see, the more we understand of what God is like, the more it should encourage us to trust him with all of our hearts. There's a verse of a hymn which puts it like this. God shall alone the refuge be and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. Now when the hymn writer wrote that verse, he was thinking about God's character. He was thinking about what God is like, and it was encouraging in him to trust in God. The hymn writer thought about the wisdom of God, and so he says, too wise to be unkind. And he thought about the goodness of God to his people, and so he says, too good to be unkind, sorry, too wise to be mistaken, he too good to be unkind. So that's one reason why God's people have every reason to trust in God, because of what God is like. But then there's another reason, and it's this. The relationship that God's people have with him. You see, the Bible tells us that God is the Father in heaven of his people, and they are his children on earth. And so when believers trust in the Lord with all their heart, they're trusting in the one who is their own heavenly Father. Let me read to you something Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said, therefore take no thought, and he means here anxious thought, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Can you see what Jesus was saying? He was saying to his people, you don't need to worry about where your food or drink is going to come from. You don't need to worry about where your clothes are going to come from. The world, they worry about that sort of thing, but God's people don't need to worry, because they just need to remember that they have a Father in heaven and he knows what they need. And so they just need to trust him. Think of a little child going for a walk in the park with their father, and perhaps they put their hand in their father's hand and their father leads them along. Well, you know, that's how believers should go through this life, trusting in the Lord. It's like they put their hand in God's hand as they trust him. They should be led through life by their Father in heaven. Or think of a child at the park and suddenly there's some kind of danger, perhaps a dog comes up or something, and so the child runs to their father. Well, that's what believers should be like when there are troubles in their life. They should run to their Father in heaven by trusting in him, taking it to him. And so God's people, they have every reason to trust in the Lord with all their heart. But as we look at these verses, they tell us something else as well. So that brings me on to my second heading. My second heading is this: don't rely on your own understanding. Because that's what it says in the second part of verse 5. It says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now you know what it means to lean against something. It means you put your weight against that thing and you rely on that thing to support your weight. And this verse is saying, don't lean like that on your own understanding. Don't rely on what you think. Think of a room where somebody has put up some cardboard partitions to partition off part of the room. Imagine someone was so foolish that they lent the whole of their weight against one of those pieces of cardboard. What would happen to them? They would go bang on the floor, wouldn't they? Well, that's a picture of the kind of thing that will happen to us if we lean on our own understanding, if we rely just on what we think. Because it can't support our weight. Let me give you some reasons why we should not rely on our own understanding. Firstly, we should not rely on our own understanding because we don't have all the information, we don't have all the facts. What we know is just a small part of the picture. By contrast, God knows absolutely everything. Then another reason why we should not lean on our own understanding, and it's that our own minds are small. However clever we may be, our own minds are small and we can't work it all out. By contrast, God is infinite in wisdom. Another reason we should not trust in our own understanding: our own thinking is often distorted by sin. Even those who are believers still have sin remaining in them. And so even in the case of those who are believers, often the way we think about things can be distorted by the sin that we still have inside us. By contrast, God is holy. And all God's thoughts are holy and right and absolutely proper. You know something? It makes absolutely no sense for us to rely on our own understanding when we have this great God to trust in. Let me give an illustration here. Imagine that you're going somewhere, you're driving there. I know some of you aren't old enough to drive yet, but just imagine you are if you're not old enough. You're going to drive somewhere, but you don't know the way at all. So you get out a sat-nav, you type in the postcode and you set off. But imagine that you don't really trust your sat-nav. And so after a while, your sat-nav tells you to take a turning on the left, and you think, well, I don't really trust my sat-nav, I'm not going to listen to that, I'm going to go off in the way that I think's right. Well, your sat-nav recalculates the route, and after a while it tells you to take another left turning. But again, you don't really trust it, and so you ignore what the sat-nav is saying, and you carry on driving whatever way you think is right. And perhaps after a while you actually switch the sat-nav off, and you just drive off and get completely lost. Well, you can see the illustration, can't you? It would be very foolish for someone to act like that, because the sat-nav knows the right way to get where they want to go, and the person doesn't know the route. And it's just the same with us. If we refuse to trust God and just go off relying on our own understanding. You see, God knows the right way and we don't. It's very foolish of us not to trust God and to just go the way that we think is right instead. But don't we all have to admit something here? Don't we all have to admit that even though it makes absolutely no sense to rely on our own understanding when we have God to trust in, even though it makes no sense whatsoever, are we not all prone to doing it? Are we not all prone to relying on our own understanding? Are there not times when we take decisions and we haven't even prayed about the matter? Or perhaps we do pray about it, but perhaps what happens is that we take a decision and then we come to God and we pray that He will bless our decision. But we haven't actually involved Him in the decision itself. When we took the decision, we just relied on our own understanding. Well, this verse is telling us not to act like that. This verse says to us, lean not unto thine own understanding. But then as we carry on looking at these verses, there's something else that they say to us as well. And so that brings me to my third and final heading, and it's this. If you acknowledge God in all your ways, He will direct your paths. That's what it says in verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. First of all, we need to think about what it means to acknowledge God in all our ways. Well, obviously, in the context, it means that in everything, we should be trusting in the Lord and not relying on our own understanding. And what is it going to look like in practice if somebody is acknowledging God in everything in their lives? Well, surely it's going to mean that they bring everything in their life to God in prayer. And that's a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. There's a hymn which puts it like this. There's a hymn which says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And when I talk about bringing everything in our lives to God in prayer, I don't just mean taking a decision and then praying that God will bless it. No, I'm not talking about that. What I mean is that before we've even taken the decision, we bring it to God in prayer with a genuine desire to know and to do His will. And verse 6 in this chapter contains a wonderful promise. It says that if we do acknowledge God in all our ways, He will direct our paths. Now, in this world, We are used to people making promises that they don't keep, aren't we? Think about politicians. At election time, politicians make all kinds of promises, don't they, to try to get people to vote for them. But if they actually get elected, they don't always do what they said. Perhaps sometimes they didn't really mean it when they made the promise. Or perhaps other times they didn't mean it, but when they actually get in power, they find they can't do what they wanted. And so we're used to broken promises in this world. But let me tell you something. God has never broken a single promise. And God never will break a single promise. And so when this verse says that if we acknowledge God in all our ways, he shall direct our paths, that's a wonderful, a glorious promise for believers to take hold of by faith. Well, what does it mean when it says he shall direct our paths if we acknowledge him in this way? Well, first of all, God directing our paths may involve God providing us with guidance so that we know the right decision to take in our lives. You know, in the Bible, God does give promises of guidance to his people. Let me read Psalm 32, verse 8. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Which raises the question, how does God provide guidance? Well, the first thing we need to say in answer to that question is that God provides guidance through this book, through his word. You see, God has spoken in this book. This is the supreme source of guidance for God's people, and it's never right to go against what the Bible says. And the Bible does provide all kinds of guidance for very practical situations. There are principles in God's word that apply to all kinds of practical situations we may face. Let me just give one example. There's lots that could be given. Let me give an example to do with spiritual things. Think about somebody who has come to faith in Jesus Christ and they want to be baptized, and perhaps they think, well, is it the Lord's will for me to be baptized? Is it right? Is it what the Lord wants me to do? Well, in that kind of situation, the Bible provides very clear guidance. In Acts chapter 8, we read about the conversion of an Ethiopian eunuch who was going through the wilderness. And in verse 36, this Ethiopian eunuch speaks to the man Philip, who's told him about Jesus. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, see, here is water, because they came up to some water. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip answers, and Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You see, that provides very clear guidance, doesn't it? That if a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, then yes, they may be baptized. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Well, can you see from that one example how God provides clear guidance in his word in that situation? And many other examples could be given. But then there are some secondary ways in which God may also guide as well. For example, God may also guide his people through his providence. In his providence, when we talk about God's providence, we're talking about how he controls things in our lives. And in his providence, he may shut one door, showing us that isn't the right way to go. And he may open another door in a way that shows us it is the right way to go. Let me give an example from my own life. More than a decade ago now, I was looking for a new job in London. And I applied to one company, and they invited me to come for an interview, but they did not offer me a job. Well, the door had been closed with that company. It obviously wasn't the Lord's will. But then another company that I applied to, they not only invited me to an interview, but they offered me a job as well. And that's the company I now work for. And looking back, I know that God, in his providence, guided me to the right company. In the company I work for, there's great freedom to talk to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And my company has been a very flexible employer since I have been in the Christian ministry. God guided me to the right place. Then another way God may sometimes guide his people is by placing a particular matter on their hearts and in their minds. Now we need to be very careful here. We need to be very careful that we really do want the Lord's will and not just what we want. But God does sometimes place a matter on a person's heart. Think of the example of a man who has been called by God to be a preacher of the gospel. What happens? Well, God places the ministry on that man's mind and in that man's heart. Perhaps a man tries to shrug it off and get rid of it, but he can't. It stays there. Perhaps it gets stronger and stronger because the Lord is calling him to preach by putting it on his heart. Then another way God may guide is through advice from godly friends and relatives. The verses we're looking at come from the book of Proverbs. Well, in the book of Proverbs, it actually says quite a lot about asking others for advice. Let me read just one verse. Proverbs 15:22. It says, "Without counsel," meaning without advice, "purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, in the multitude of advisors," having lots of them, "they are established." Now, of course, when we ask for advice, if we're asking for advice about something important in our lives, it's sensible, isn't it, to ask for advice from those who know the Lord, who will be able to give us godly advice. It's a good idea to ask the most experienced Christians who will most be able to help us from their Christian experience and their knowledge of Christian things. But God does sometimes guide through advice from other people. And there may be other ways in which God may guide his people sometimes as well. But sometimes there may be situations in which a believer has acknowledged God in a matter. They have taken it to God in prayer. They do want to know and do God's will, and yet they may still be confused about what the right way is. But in that kind of situation, God will still keep his promise to direct their paths. You see, even if the person themselves is confused about the right way, God will make everything work out for good. He will make everything work out in the right way. Well, as I come to a close, I want to read to you a verse from James chapter 1, James 1:22. And it says this. It says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And so the real test of what we've been thinking about this evening, the real test for each one of us, is what happens next time we have to take a decision in our lives. What's going to happen next time you have to take a decision in your life? Or what's going to happen next time I have to take a decision? Are we going to trust in the Lord with all our heart? Are we going to acknowledge him in the matter, wanting to know and do his will? Or are we just going to rely on our own understanding and try to work it all out ourselves and go off and do our own thing? What's going to happen next time you have to take a decision in your life? Well, I feel how challenging these things are myself, just as perhaps you may do as well. May God help us each to do his word and not just to hear it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Let's come to the Lord now in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. And Lord, we pray that thou help us each to be a doer of thy word and not a hearer only. And Lord, we pray that thou help us each to trust in thee with all our heart for the salvation of our soul. Lord, we pray for those here this evening who are still unsaved, who are still unbelievers. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in their hearts and bring them to that trust in thee. Do bring them to trust in Jesus Christ, thy Son, we pray. And Lord, we pray that thou help us to trust in thee for everything in our lives. We pray that we may not just rely on our own thoughts and go our own way, but that in everything we may acknowledge thee, O Lord. And we pray that thou guide us, that thou direct our paths. We ask in Christ's name.